share this morning. I don't know if you guys had this thought, random thought, while we were singing, worshiping. I thought, how on earth are we going to survive in the summer with masks in Wellington? All of us are going to have red cheeks. If you walk in the sun, you know, if you take it off, everything is burned except this part. You know, that's why I have a beard. I'm preparing. It's my privilege to share with you this morning, and I always enjoy the second service because the first service we obviously have a very strict time limit, but I'm still have a strict time limit this morning, but there's not necessarily, well, there's still sanitizing that needs to take place, so yes, there's a strict time limit. But I want to start off just by sharing this, and I've asked this question in the first service. I don't know, whom of you guys like making a fire? Like, you love making a fire, yes. Most of us. I'm in between. I sometimes love it, and I sometimes hate smelling like smoke. And all the smoke in my eyes and tearing up and all those things. People think I'm very emotional when I make a fire, but my eyes are very sensitive. Or maybe I'm crying, you don't know. But making a fire, even now in this lockdown period, we had a couple of evenings where we just bride, and I had this thought, and how we did it, obviously, our wood, specifically after the cold front, was quite wet. So, you know, I tried to make this fire with wet wood, but obviously doesn't work. You start looking for small pieces of wood, branches. We even took some paper in the house, anything that can just help this fire going. And then, obviously, you have the bigger pieces of wood that you put on this fire that almost feeds on this flame that you just started, and that makes obviously the fire last longer and gives you better coals. But I had this thought, imagine you only use the small branches and the papers to make a fire. Most probably the papers will take flame quite quickly, so there will be like a, you know, there will be a flame and there will be fire, but it's not necessarily going to be a fire that's going to last long. Now, you all agree with me? You need those big pieces of wood that you need to put on the fire so that that fire can actually be sustainable to keep it going. And on the movies, they always take these big logs and they put it on the fire, you know, that type of thing. So that is the picture I want you to keep in mind as I share this morning. And I want to share on this very thing that I think most of you have heard. We even have worship songs where we sing about this, but it's having a burning heart. Having a burning heart before the Lord. It is biblical, and we're going to look at a scripture in Luke 24, or a story in Luke 24 that I'm going to take just 3 points. I'm going to take 3 points out of that. But I also want to mention two things before I'm going to do that. I want to say this morning, what you feed yourself with, what you build into yourself, it does matter. And I think often our devotion to the Lord and our loving of Him reflect what we feed ourselves. Does it make sense? If you only feed yourself nonsense, nonsense is what will come out of you. If you feed yourself with the Word of the Lord, if you feed yourself with studying about Jesus and praying and all these things, most probably that is what's going to come out of you. So I want to say, I think most of the times when it comes to speaking about having a burning heart before the Lord, the opposite is also true. I think there's two groups of people here this morning. You're maybe sitting here and you have a passion in your heart for the Lord. Like when you hear Jesus, you want to scream and jump through this roof. And then there's other group here this morning. And I think all of us have been there. So I'm not trying to shame or whatever by mentioning this, but then we have a group of people maybe sitting here this morning, you feel like your heart is cold. You're just in a season, you're like, when you hear Jesus, you're not necessarily excited, or you may be familiar just with how we do things, you know? And I want to tell you, most probably, specifically when it comes to a cold heart, it's not always the external, what happened to you, like someone was ugly to me, or someone said this about me, or I had a fight with the pastor, or I don't know. Like, we can't always blame the external for what's going on in the internal. Sometimes what's going on in here is what we actually feed ourselves with. Does it make sense? So I want to start with this quote, and this is basically what I hope would be stirred in us. It's by someone anonymous, and he anonymous. I don't know if you guys know anonymous. He has many quotes. You may laugh under your mask. You know, that's part of it. It says, radical Christianity is not always going on big mission trips or going to a big conference. It is remaining steady or steadfast for decades. Now, I'm trusting for us as congregations, we will have a heart before the Lord. Yes, we're going to go through struggles and going through difficulties. All of us do. But my hope is that we will be able to keep a heart that is filled with love for the Lord and filled with devotion for Him and full with passion for Jesus, whether we're on the mountain or in the valley. That is what I'm trusting for. So I want to look at a portion of Scripture in Luke 24. You can put it up so long. And before I'm going to read that, I just want to give a quick context. Before this story, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to quickly explain to you. Before this story, we read about after Jesus was crucified, 3 days later, there was three women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. And these three women, on the third day, took their spices to go to Jesus where he was buried. Okay, so that they were on their way going there, and obviously, I think most of us have heard it. They got there. Obviously, the grave was empty. They encountered angels that said, you know, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. And they obviously marveled at what they saw, and they went back to the apostles, and they told the apostles, listen, we got to the grave. It is empty. Wow. And it actually says, the word says, the apostles actually struggled to believe their idle tale. They were like, what's the chance? Okay. I want you to keep that in mind. Then we go on to the second group of people, or two people. And it's also a story I think most of us have heard. But to be honest, it's not a story that I've heard many preachers on throughout my life. And it's a story about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. I'm Afrikaans, guys, forgive me. Emmaus, do I say it correct, Mano? Emmaus. Okay, Emmaus. On the road to Emmaus. And this group of disciples on the road to Emmaus. And what we encounter there is we see these two disciples. We know one of them are called Cleopas. And we see the two of them walking. And they are having this convo. They are speaking to one another about everything that has happened. They were disciples, so they've witnessed some of the things that Jesus has done. You know, they followed Jesus, okay? They were disciples of Jesus. They saw everything. They witnessed. And then suddenly, Jesus got crucified. Everything that they hoped Jesus would be fell to them. Suddenly, whoop, was taken away. So they had a little bit of a sadness in their heart. And they were walking and discussing, yo, this is what was happening. And can you believe it? You know, they were just imagining you in their shoes. Obviously, we know Jesus got resurrected. They didn't necessarily know that and think like that. They thought, whoa, we had this hope, and now it's gone. So keep that in mind. So we're going to quickly read there, and then I'm going to make a couple of points. So you can follow with me. Luke 24:13 and verse 13 to 35. 13, the very day, two of them, that's the two disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. That's now the crucifixion and everything about Jesus. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. My first point, if you're making notes, you can write it down. The first point I want to make this morning, I want to say, Jesus himself. Now, you have these two groups of people. You have this woman that after 3 days pitched up at the grave. They were so devoted, loved the Lord so much that after 3 days, even though in their hearts they thought Jesus is dead, they went with the spices still pitched up there. And you have these two disciples that are hopeless and walking away from Jerusalem. And I want to say this morning, whether your heart is burning like that woman or your heart is cold, the answer is Jesus himself. Jesus himself. That's the answer this morning. If you have a burning heart, you need Jesus himself to sustain that. If you do not have, if you have a call heart this morning, the answer is Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Amen? Oh. He comes to reward fixed and fervent love. And he comes also to revive it when tremulous and cold. Isn't that beautiful? He comes to reward this love, and he also comes when it's called to come and revive it. And I'm trusting this morning, whatever group you are this morning, I'm trusting that we would see and encounter Jesus himself this morning. Do you know that you were created to have a revelation of Jesus? Like, we need to see him. When I speak about a revelation, I speak about an uncovering of who he is. And Paul writes in Ephesians 1, it's a beautiful prayer, Ephesians 1 verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So why? So we can see him, that we can get to know him. Your heart was designed, is designed, will always be, and there will always be a need for Jesus himself. You can follow him 50 years. You can follow him for one day. The need will stay the same, Jesus himself. The more we partake in him, the more we will want to partake in him. Does it make sense? I want us I actually thought of this story, Nana. We went to Russia, it's not a couple of years ago. It's many years ago. We went to Russia. It was quite. We had quite a very hectic travel schedule. So we went to St. Petersburg and then over train to Moscow and then suddenly to other town, and then we come back for 2 days and we went again for 2 days, and it was a bit of quite a demakar spill just because of how the schedule worked out. So we were quite tired, and I remember we were in this one town. And we had to minister, and there were some issues in the team. Some people were just tired, and they wanted to go home and all these things, and everyone was just over it. And we had to minister that morning, and one of my very good friends, he's in PE now, he didn't preach a lot. He's a very faithful servant heart. And I asked him that morning, would you preach? You know, Hannes was also in Team T, some of you would know, leading Malkbos. He was leading the team, and he asks Yannick, my friend, would you preach? And I remember, I think I was more nervous for him than he was. I was like, what are you going to preach about? I don't hear anything. And I remember that morning he took the mic and he just started speaking about Jesus himself. And I've never seen something broke out in a meeting like that. Spoke about Jesus. That's all. He just started speaking about Jesus in a context where people don't necessarily become emotional or whatever. Russians are quite, you know, it just broke something open. There's something of Jesus himself that's relevant to any heart, anywhere in the world. I've seen it. I haven't been to many countries, but I've seen it. Jesus is relevant to every heart. Jesus himself. Okay, we're going to read on. Jesus himself drew near. Verse 16. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus... Here's these two disciples. Suddenly Jesus, there with them, draws near to them, and it says that they couldn't recognize him. Okay, they were walking. They didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. You see, they were like sad. You don't know? You don't know what happened? You don't know what we've been through? Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? He's speaking to Jesus. You can go on. Verse 19. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. So these disciples, like many people's understanding in that time, they thought that Jesus will become the physical king. He's going to come, he's going to take on the government, and he's going to become king. And then it's going to be like, woo, you know, Jesus reign, you know. They didn't think Jesus reigning will look a little bit different. They didn't know that. So they had an expectation. It didn't play out the way that they thought it would be. You can, I don't know if you guys see, even just reading through, they were sadness because they had this expectation and, you know, it didn't play out. There was a little bit of hopelessness and disappointment. And I think often we are in that place. We have expectations of how we think life needs to go. We have expectations of what we think needs to happen, how it needs to play out, even expectations towards the Lord. Lord, you must do this for me, and then he doesn't. And then suddenly you feel offended, or you feel like, oh, God, how can you? Why is this going on in my marriage? Why is this happening to my kids? You know, we sometimes have that type of heart. They found them, most probably not precisely as I mentioned now, but there was hopelessness and disappointment in their heart. It goes on, yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. You can go on to the next verse. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. That is now the woman that went to the grave. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. So they are speaking about this woman that came and said, listen, Jesus, we went there, we encountered the angels, and they said, you know, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's alive, he is risen. And they go back and they're like, Jesus is risen. And the apostles didn't necessarily believe them. And then the only person that did believe them was Peter. Peter ran to the grave and had a look and found it precisely as the woman said it was. There was nothing. The cloths were there, you know. Wow, okay. But still, it's like they mentioned it, but it's not like they believe this. They're like, ah, oh, you know, this is what happened. This is what they said. One of the apostles found it. Like, it's not necessarily like they believe what they've heard. You can go on. Is everyone still with me? And he said to them, this is Jesus, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus thought about Jesus. Imagine, it's like, you know, I think that must be such a privilege to be there. You can go on. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Go on. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. I want to stop at the next verse. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? My second point I want to make today. So I said first, Jesus himself. The second one is, did not our hearts burn? Interesting original language of the tenses used there. Doesn't say, did not our hearts burn? Oh, it was a moment, and now it's gone. It speaks about a state of burning. It keeps on burning. Did not our hearts keep on burning? Before this happened, what did Jesus do? He broke the bread. Okay. Interesting. I remember this, and I mentioned in the first service, Christopher Nietling leading Durbanville PM, he did a sermon when we were still at First Love, and he spoke about the new covenant and communion, breaking of bread and drinking the wine, you know, the bread representing the body of Christ and the blood and the wine representing the blood. And it's interesting, when Jesus did what? Broke the bread, their eyes went open. It's almost like the same message coming through, partake in me, Jesus. And what happened? Their eyes went open. It's an invitation. Their eyes went open. And what did they say? Did not our hearts burn? Did not our hearts burn when he spoke to us? Interesting. These guys, they saw Jesus. They saw what Jesus did. They were disciples. When Jesus appeared to them, they didn't know it was Jesus. And yet, their attitude wasn't like this. They weren't like, we know Jesus, we saw him, who are you to come and teach us about Jesus, please go away. that you realize they didn't do that. They allowed this guy to teach them. They even invited him to their house they were going to. And I want to say this. For us as a church, if you want a burning heart, if we want to have a heart that keeps on burning, we need to position ourselves in what? In humility. In humility. The river always flows to the lowest place. I know the Team T students have heard us speaking about this quite a lot. Position yourselves in humility. Why must we be in humility? Because Christ came as the humble one. He loved first, therefore we can love. He gave himself as a sacrifice. Now we need to deny ourselves and follow him. And you see, it's this almost like this duet. You know, he made the first move, now we respond. He was humble when he came. Now we need to live lives that are humble in humility. Matthew 18, verse 4, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. James 4, verse 6, therefore it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Our own Andrew Murray, the statue, he said the following, he said, not the statue, the statue didn't say it, Andrew Murray, the person said it. Here is the path to the higher life, down, lower, down. Just as water always seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds men abased and empty, his glory and power flow into exalted place. Lower down, that is how we position ourselves, in humility before Christ himself, Jesus himself. I'm telling you, so Jesus is the source. Jesus himself is the one that keeps our heart burning. He starts the fire, and we need to position ourselves in humility. He is King. He is Lord. Does it make sense? Amen. And then I want to go on. So that was their testimony. Did not our hearts burn? And then they do something interesting after they said this. It says, they said, verse 33, and they arose that what? Next week? No, that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They just walked all the way, and suddenly after that experience, they're like, we're going back. And they found the 11, that's the 11 disciples. Obviously, Judas wasn't there anymore. And those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed. These two, after they had this encounter with Jesus himself, after they said to one another, did not our hearts burn? What was the fruit, the result of all of this? They went back and said, he is risen indeed. Interesting, the testimony of the women when they went to the grave was, he is risen indeed. The testimony of these two, while walking in their hopelessness, encountering Jesus, their testimony was, he is risen indeed. I'm telling you, whether your heart is burning or very cold this morning, the Lord is risen indeed. The Lord is risen indeed. R.C. Sproul said the following, it's so beautiful. A Christian is not a skeptic. A Christian is a person with a burning heart, a heart set aflame with certainty of the resurrection. Isn't that beautiful? You want to have a heart that you're like those big pieces of wood on a fire that is sustained? I'm telling you, if we live, a heart that lives in the awareness of the resurrected of Christ is a heart that keeps on burning. If we keep our eyes on the one that's resurrected. How often... Oh, I mentioned this also quickly in the first service, but I remember as a 13-year-old, we grew up in a family that loved the Lord and served the Lord, and I'm almost finished, served the Lord and did all these things. And I remember when I was 14 years old, grade 8 in high school, I started reading through the book of Acts out of my own. I don't know why. We were not necessarily in church that encouraged it. I just started reading through the book of Acts. And while reading through it, as a 14-year-old, I thought, where is this Jesus that I'm reading about? Cannot be that the Jesus that we're serving, that this is the same one. Somewhere there's a disconnection. And I want to say this morning, I think often we build our own ideas about Jesus. We go through disappointment. For example, you trust for healing and God is not healing you. Or you trust for provision and it's just he doesn't provide when you want him to provide. Or you trust for this job and you don't get it. And suddenly you're like, there's something in your heart that almost becomes offended and you build your Jesus according to your experience. And I want to tell you this morning, and as the Chronicles of Narnia says, this Jesus that we come to and the one that we know cannot be tamed. He cannot be formed according to what we want him to be. Does it make sense? He's the resurrected Christ. He is alive. And I want to end off with this. Interesting, the word Emmaus, the town they were walking to, is actually, the meaning is hot baths, hot springs. And they were going to a place called Hot Springs, and they encountered the spring of life. And it's interesting that I think often we are on our way to our ideas about Jesus and our perspective of what we think Jesus should do and all these things. And then suddenly, hopefully, and I'm trusting this morning that he would come and encounter us even in these going to our ideas and going to our perspective and et cetera. But I'm trusting this morning that the Lord will come and shake us awake. Man, there's a verse in Song of Solomon 8 verse 7 that says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. And I'm trusting that that would be said of our love for Christ. That nothing can come and take this flame away. I think of, sometimes we easily allow really nonsense to come and take that flame away. Do you agree? Is it just me? It's just me. Okay, I'm the only one. Awesome, Modus, pray for me, please. but I think we allow these things to come and take it away so easily. I know it's the desire in the Lord's heart for us to live in before him, to live before him in such a way that our hearts would be in a constant awareness of the resurrected one, and that we would be able to love him fully and with devotion. Keenan, can you come up quickly? Can we quickly close our eyes as we end off? You see, a burning heart testifies of what we see. And often a cold heart testifies of the fact that we do not see. And I want to pray and trust of us just for Holy Spirit to come open and enlighten the eyes of our heart. Even as Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, trusting for the enlightenment of the eyes of our hearts. I want to trust this morning just for the eyes of our hearts to open up. And wherever we have a distortion in our perspective of Jesus or idea of Jesus, that he would come and just encounter us, and that the resurrected Jesus would almost come and just realign our idea and our picture of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and highlight to hearts, even sitting here this morning, where we have this idea of you that's maybe not accurate to who you really are. Would you come and break that down in Jesus' name? Break that down in Jesus' name. It's weird, even while speaking, I have this feeling that there's maybe some of you that you had I just hear the word disappointment in a relationship that caused almost a distortion of your picture of Jesus. I just want you to lay that before the Lord. Maybe you've experienced rejection, and you're building a picture of the Lord accordingly. I mentioned the thing about healing. You're trusting for healing, and it didn't happen. Now you're building a picture according to your experience. You need to lay that down. So Holy Spirit, as you speak to them, and I'm trusting that some of us, even as I'm speaking, there's things that you can identify and be like, yes, this is whatever, or this is the thing. I'm just, yeah. Can I ask, if there's something that you know you need to bring before the Lord, that you can just stand up with me, because I think I also need to stand. If there's something you can identify of the Lord that you just want to bring before him. So I want you to take 30 seconds, even as the Holy Spirit highlighted that thing, and just even mention to the Lord, I want to take this idea of you that I have and just submit it under you in Jesus' name. Would you come and show me the resurrected Christ. Just in your own words. So, Father, we bring this thing before you and we place it before you and we say, God, that we, even the idea of Jesus, I've heard someone once say that sometimes our ideas of Jesus that's not accurate can be seen almost as idolatry because it's not who he is. And I pray, Lord, we want to almost come and say sorry. We want to repent that we've maybe hold on to these ideas that are not accurate. And we say, Holy Spirit, come and show us the resurrected Christ. Come show us Jesus, the one that's alive. I pray, may our hearts burn, Father, that each one today in this building, that you will come and inflame us, Jesus, that you would come, Lord, and stir our hearts. And I pray, may the testimony be in the weeks to come and decades to come that he indeed is risen, Lord. Jesus' name. I pray that you will come and overwhelm hearts with your presence even in this week, Lord, that you will come and speak. I pray for repentance to flow. I pray, Lord, that your presence would come and just surround us in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Just want to add to that, just I do see there's some people that I've met before, but I just want to create a moment. See, there was a problem, and the problem is sin. That we knew God, if you look at the story of the Bible, just Adam and Eve, they walked with God, they've been in his presence, and then that relationship got distorted through sin. And right through the scriptures, you read of people trying to connect with God, trying to just have a relationship, but it's just impossible. Have to do this, we have to do that. But God had a solution, and he sent his son, Jesus, who died on a cross, he is the resurrected, the one that makes our hearts burning. And I want to give a moment this morning, as Jesus says, we can be his children. We have to just pray this from a heart of faith. Says, Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross, that you paid for my sin. That sin that stands between me and you, God, you paid for that. And I come to you today and I confess with my mouth and I say, Lord, I need you. And I want to create a moment for that. This, if you have not given your life to Jesus before and you want to do that today, can everyone just bow their heads and I just want to create that moment before we finish. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to give your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross for my sin. And that you are the solution and that you're the answer and that you can save me. Is there anyone here that wants to do that today? I want us just to go out, and then somebody was here today and they actually just wanted to give their life to Jesus. Everyone cool? All right. So even if that's you, come chat to me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you. This heart starts with Jesus. This burning heart starts with Jesus who sets our hearts. So please come do. So thank you very much, everyone. It is an amazing day outside. So I can imagine some picnics and like braise and meals. So enjoy your Sunday afternoon. And we'll see you soon somewhere in the future. And bless you all. Cool. Bye-bye. Oh yeah, so we're going to start just cleaning out the venue. So if I can maybe ask you guys to just connect there outside on the stoop, and then the team can come and just clean out the venue. Thank you so much, everyone.